Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears on WWGH 107.1 FM. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears along with you for the ride. Wednesday, December the 1st, 2021, 16 coming up on 17 minutes past the hour. Can you imagine we are into the month of December, 25 days until Christmas Day. Want to update the Geraldo Journal very quickly here. December 1st, 2021, did not hear from Geraldo. But, now this is kind of a seminal day because we started this back in September the 16th. So September, October, November, December. So we'll say into month 4. So that's the Geraldo Journal entry for today. And remember, we still have hope there because we do know Geraldo is in New York right now doing some things for Fox News, and also we were told that after the 28th that he is aware of what has been going on here, and he will address it when he gets back to Cleveland, which apparently he is not back in Cleveland yet. We've got a lot of announcements here at the studio, but I did want to talk about what was on in the previous hour, because that was a story that really tore this community apart for quite a period of time. The Big River Valley Cancer Scare, as it was known. The Marion Star had reporters on it. The Columbus Dispatch had reporters on it. The news channels in Columbus had reporters on it. It was one of the biggest stories. I would be hard-pressed in my mind to find a story that ran longer and impacted more people than that story. Now, what we learn from this book, written by Dr. James Van Curran, The School Poisoning Tragedy in Caledonia, Ohio, is we still don't have an answer. All these many years later, 24, 25 years later since this all was first brought to our attention, we still don't know if the things that were buried in the ground had anything to do with the leukemia rates that went on at River Valley High School and Middle School from 1963 on. Does anybody have any memories of that whole kerfluffle that happened back in the late 1990s? Or does anybody have any opinions on what they heard from Dr. Van Curran? It's an interesting book. Again, the book is The School Poisoning Tragedy in Caledonia, Ohio. I asked the doctor about that title because I don't think the old River Valley schools are in Caledonia, which is just, that's just a little strange to me that that is the title, but, you know, sometimes things happen like that. Any memories of that whole mess that went on here in Marion back in the late 90s? I just remember, and I did not go to River Valley, but I just remember all of the press and how it never seemed to end, how that just seemed to go on and on and on. And does anybody have any feeling on, do you think it happened? After hearing what Dr. Van Curran had to say, do you think there is a link between the leukemia and what happened there after World War II on that site? See, I have always been confused on why the schools are still there long after River Valley has vacated them and moved to their new buildings. If it was such a hazardous area, why would you leave the schools there? And I always wondered about GTE being across the street, because so many people worked at GTE that it wasn't far from where all of this was said to have happened. And it is interesting that all these people had stories. As soon as this became a big media event, you had all these people coming to the forefront and really sharing these stories that they had never shared before, but the stories that they had shared before were, or the stories they were sharing were prior to 1963 when the schools were built. So that was kind of strange. Does anybody have anything to say about this? Is this fresh in anybody's mind? People who lived in the Marion community at that time, I know a lot of people attended those school board meetings. It was one of the most highly contested things I can ever remember. 740-383-9944. And I remember very well people saying it was only being done so River Valley could get new schools. And I'm trying to remember who was the name of the person who was really the first person to come forward saying that possibly the leukemia that they had been caused by contamination at River Valley. I cannot remember that person's name. And I don't even know what happened to that person. I don't know if that person is still with us or not. But that was quite a mess. Does anybody have any memories? Give me a buzz here, 740-383-9944. Don't be shy. Or do you have anything to say about the book that's been written here by Dr. James Van Curen and all the studying he's been doing? It's just fascinating to me that at the end of this, we still have no answer. That nobody really knows. Which, I guess, goes back to the point that you can really make an accusation about anything, and if you can find some circumstantial evidence, I guess you can make it so. And people will believe it. And I really don't know. You know, after reading the book, I have no idea if there's a link or not. I mean, certainly some things were done on that land that probably should not have been done. That land should probably not have been used in the first place because of the things that were going on in that area. But did it have any link to the cancers or the leukemia? I don't know. It's hard to tell. It's very hard to tell. But I do know that if you were the parent of a River Valley student, that really would have made you nervous at the time to send your kids to school. Are there any parents out there or former River Valley students who were around when this was all going on? You know, boy, the nicknames and the innuendos that were out there at that time, it was unbelievable. Really an unbelievable story here in Marion. And you know, you talk about the press. That was some of the worst press that I think the city of Marion ever got, or the county of Marion, I guess I should say. It was just not a pleasant time. Think about it, and if you've got anything to say, give me a buzz. I do want to remind you of some things here. We've got some announcements. First of all, if you want to send a letter to Santa Claus, we have Santa Claus's address here. Santa Claus, P.O. Box 1, Santa Claus, Indiana, 47579. Now, send a letter to Santa Claus, and if you put your return address in there, you will get a letter back from Santa Claus. Santa Claus, P.O. Box 1, Santa Claus, Indiana, 47579. If you want to send WWGH Radio a Christmas card, WWGH, 523 South Prospect Street, Marion, Ohio, 43302. You can put my name on the address line there. And again, if you put your return address in that card, we will send you back a card. We will read your card on the air, and we will hang it here in the studio. Mr. and Mrs. Shirk's card came yesterday. It is displayed here in the studio. Also, I don't know where this came from, but there is a singles holiday bash coming up on Saturday, December the 4th at 6:30 p.m. The Harding Hotel Garden Room, 267 West Center Street. Bring a gift, a $10 minimum, for either a man or a woman. Games, fun, and food. The Singles Holiday Bash, Saturday, December 4th, 6:30 p.m., Harding Hotel Garden Room. Where is the Garden Room at the Harding Hotel? It's been such a long time since I've been in there. What do you consider the garden room? Is it that room right in the beginning? When you walk in, it's off to the right? Is that the garden room? Off of the lobby? Well, you can bring a $10 gift and go to a singles dance on, or a singles bash, I should say. Singles holiday bash. I don't know if there's any dancing involved in that, but that will be on Saturday, December the 4th. All right. What else do we have here? Oh, there's a big, big event going on in Caledonia this weekend. Christmas in the Village, in remembrance of Lisa Saunders, Saturday, December the 4th. There's a bazaar. It will be taking place in the Memorial Park, 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. Lots of local crafters and vendors. 5824 Caledonia Mud Pike in Caledonia. But all kinds of events going on this day, not just the Christmas Bazaar. 3 to 6:30 p.m. there will be fire truck rides. From 3 to 6 p.m. free walking tacos and chocolate-covered strawberries and marshmallows. 4 to 7 p.m. enjoy Christmas lights, Christmas carolers, coffee, hot chocolate, and cookies. 4 p.m. hot chocolate and candy canes. 4:30 to 6 p.m. kids games. 5 p.m. Santa Claus is coming to town. 4:15 to 4:30, Carol Alt's Dance Factory will be taking the stage at Bowstrings Restaurant. 4:30 p.m., they'll be cookie decorating at Bowstrings Restaurant. 7 p.m., the lighting ceremony at the Village Square offices, Christmas tree lighting ceremony. 7 p.m., registration for the Ugly Sweater Contest. 8 p.m., judging of coloring, ugly sweater, and house lighting contests. And 7 p.m., wagon rides to view beautiful houses lighted in Caledonia, Ohio. There will be special appearances by Santa and Mrs. Claus along with their friends. And make sure you stop by the Caledonia Post Office and let the kids write Santa and stick it in their special mailbox in the lobby, and Santa Claus will write you a letter back. And again, all kinds of Christmas crafts. What a big event. Christmas in the Village over in Caledonia this coming Saturday, December the 4th, all kicking off, it looks like, that morning with the bazaar, and that's 10 a.m. to 4 p.m., but the events around town start with the fire truck rides at 3 p.m. So the big holiday event, Christmas in the Village, over in Caledonia. All right, phone lines are open. Did anybody think of anything to talk about in regard to the whole River Valley situation? It's an interesting situation, to be sure. All right, let's go to the phones. Go ahead, caller.
Hey, there you go, Scott. There's your Christmas light tour. You can just take everybody over to Caledonia, and you can do it on the wagon.
Just take them over to Caledonia and put them on the wagon and go. You know, what is the population of Caledonia? It's only like 500 people, isn't it?
I have no idea. I don't think I've ever seen the population.
You know, I don't think it's very large. It's interesting because Caledonia is a nice little community, and to have all these events going on Saturday, and it seems as if they're all free, it's really kind of a nice thing.
Yeah, well, when you were talking about that there a second ago, that's the first thing come to my mind. If he can't get his Christmas light tour going in Marion, he can just go over to Caledonia.
Well, isn't it interesting that they're using a wagon? Maybe you can do that in villages, but you can't do that in cities.
Yeah, there's a little bit too much traffic to be doing that in Marion.
See, but everybody thought I was nuts when I said we should use a wagon here in Marion, but that's what they do over in Caledonia.
Well, yeah.
I think that's the nice old-fashioned way to do it.
That's what I said. You could just, everybody could just go over to Caledonia, you could tour the lights, sing your Christmas carols.
Yeah, apparently they're going to have big caroling events over there. Seems like a big deal over in Caledonia.
Well, can't get it done here in town. Just go over there.
Do you remember the whole River Valley cancer scare?
Yeah, I do. I don't remember a lot of details about it, but Yeah, the question in my mind was, why would they ever put a school that close to the depot anyway?
Well, yeah, I think that's kind of odd. I mean, I certainly understand there were no regulations at that time, but you think somebody would have spoken up and said, you know, some stuff went on there that might not be good for a school.
Yeah, they must have got a really good deal on that land.
Well, I was always confused, and maybe I'm wrong about this, but in the late 90s is when this all came to light, and it was odd to me that all of a sudden all these people in that area had these firsthand accounts of all this stuff they saw 30 or 40 years earlier, but yet when the schools were being built, or any time during that 60s, 70s, 80s, and early 90s, nobody ever said anything.
I know. It's the way it goes.
I think that's why that story, to be honest, got a lot of downplay, that people really didn't believe it. I really don't know what the percentage is, to be honest, of people who did believe it versus people who didn't believe it. I really don't know where public opinion fell on that. I know a lot of people attended the school board meetings and wanted something done, but to be honest, people kept sending their kids to school there.
Yeah, I think if I'd have had a child going out there and something like that came up and I started noticing kids coming up with leukemia, then they got to quit sending my kid to school.
Well, that was always an odd thing because I think that story broke somewhere around 97 or 98, and the schools did not permanently close, I don't think, until, boy, I'm going to get the year wrong here, but I think it's somewhere like 2003, 4, or 5. So there was a period there that story was very well known. A matter of fact, they were having the school board meetings. They were on the television. They were in all the newspapers, but every day, 5 days a week, the kids were going to schools there.
Well, yeah. Well, that and the last time I was out by there, I mean, there's still stuff in there. I mean, you would think the building should be empty if the land's contaminated. I mean, look at that place up on it's up on Columbia. There used to be a cul-de-sac there. Now it's just a bunch of ground. They tried to make a little park out of it. Now that land was contaminated, and they tore that whole cul-de-sac down right now. There was no questions, nothing. Everybody in that cul-de-sac had to move out, and they tore the land, tore all the houses down, and now it's just a bunch of green grass.
Well, you know, I certainly understand that this toxic waste, I guess is how it was referred to, was buried in certain areas. I get that. But what I never understood was when you went out to River Valley, you know, certainly the depot is not right next door to River Valley High School or Middle School at that point. But yet, the big GTE offices were closer to the depot, not by much, but closer than River Valley was. And there were hundreds of people working in GTE at that particular point, just right across the street.
Except how many of them was outside on the grass?
Well, yeah, but I mean, did anybody ever go over there and dig anything up? Did anybody ever think that whole area was contaminated? I never understood the contamination part of it, because what are the odds that just the area that the field was built on was contaminated? I mean, that's some pretty sharp odds.
Yeah, well, knowing the era that the depot operated, if they buried any contaminants, chances are they buried them in steel drums. Steel tends to rust, and then it starts to leak. And then if it gets into the water system, the groundwater, and it happens to be flowing that way, you know, it's going to leach into the ground. And, I mean, the farther down it goes, I'm guessing the less it's going to be, depending on how much actually leaked out. But, yeah, there probably is contaminants way farther down than just that school if somebody were to investigate it.
Well, what do you make of the fact, though, that here we are, though, 25 years later, and there's still no real evidence? I mean, we can't say that that's what did cause it. We can't even say that there was a causing agent, I guess, as near as I can tell from Dr. Van Curen there.
I never actually heard what the chemical makeup was. I mean, I don't remember if they ever said exactly, you know, what the contaminant was. what kind of chemical was it? Does anybody know that?
Well, as I say, I don't think there ever was. I think they tested the ground for contamination of any kind. I think they were looking for that. And it depends on who you talk to as to what they found.
Yeah, same old run around.
Yeah, so I don't know. I mean, it was, but it certainly brought a lot of press to Marion at that time, and it certainly was not good press.
Yeah, I was going to say, it was bad press. Made Marion look bad.
And then it kept going on and on and on, and these school board meetings were...
Still people out there fighting leukemia.
Oh, absolutely. Horrible disease, and if that was causing that, I mean, it's horrible that that had to happen, but in the end, I don't think we know. And
we never will.
I don't think we ever will. I think that's what this book kind of tells us in the end, is really what you're going to have to do is just draw your own conclusion, because at this point, it's never, I don't know how we link it now, because a lot of these people who had leukemia are either better or sadly no longer with us. And
that's the thing about leukemia. It might go into remission, but you're always in danger of it coming back.
Yeah, I don't know. It was an interesting time in Marion, but I know there were some people who felt very absolute that there was a problem, and then I know there were people who were absolutely of the mind that it was a joke, that this was a very stupid thing, and that they were just kind of ginning it up for people.
I can't remember approximately how many kids turned up with leukemia. I mean, I think that's what got it started, wasn't it? Was a bunch, or there was a few of them or something.
There was a few. You know, the number was not huge. It was the percentage that was kind of out of whack that people were looking at. But it was not a huge amount. You know, I'm looking here in the book, and when this all, let's see here, when this all came to be, it all started, I guess, in June of 1997, and it was because the Ohio Department of Health were investigating a high cancer rate among River Valley High School students. So, you know, in September of 97, a dime-sized disc coated in radium is found in the front yard of River Valley High School. Now, that's a little suspect.
Oh, yeah.
You know, death rates up 122% in 30 years, state study finds, and that was in the Dispatch in October of 97. So I guess the percentage was huge, but I doubt the number was anything that was unbelievable.
Yeah, because, see, you can deal with percentages, but percentages are funny. It depends. I mean, I want actual numbers. How many children out there had, you know, turned up with leukemia while they were there?
Yeah, well,
I don't want percentages, because percentages can be cooked. You can make percentages any way you want.
Well, it's interesting, because if you look at the timeline, in 97, when they did the soil samples of the playing fields, they said there were high levels of hydrocarbons. And they named some of them here in the book that were linked to cancer. But yet in 98, a radiological survey found that there were no further areas of concern.
So just the playing fields, all they admitted to.
Well, it looks, I mean, February of 98, it says high levels of arsenic are found in trenches near the high school. Five athletic fields are roped off after finding more contamination.
So they were found in trenches, so like a ditch.
Yeah, which that's odd, too. I mean, nobody found that for 35 years.
Yeah, because I heard on the radio when I was first coming back from taking my granddaughter to school that you said the middle school was built in 68? Is that what you said?
Let's see here. December of 61, they purchased the 59.10 acres for $7,350. Now, that's 1961, though, so that's not a low
money.
Huh?
that's still pretty good money.
Yeah, that was good money in those days. And then it said River Valley Local Schools purchases 18.6 acres for $15,000 in 64. So that, you know, they were there for quite a few years. But nothing till 97. Well, I mean, all the kids that went through there from 64 through 97, what are the leukemia cases with that group? I mean, you would think they would have experienced the same things.
Yeah, you would think. That's why I asked. I mean, what are the actual numbers of children that turned up with leukemia?
Well, like I said, I have not seen that in this book. It might be in here somewhere in a chart, but the percentages are what the newspaper was reporting.
Yeah, see, I don't go by percentages. I want actual numbers.
Yeah, so I don't think the number would be staggering, to be honest. I think...
we don't know.
It's more about the percentage. Well, maybe we'll find something as time goes on. I doubt it, but you never know.
Maybe we'll fucking jog some memories.
Yeah, maybe we'll jog some memories. You're right. Hey, thank you.
Okay.
All right, phone lines are open here. 42 minutes past the hour. Does anybody remember this whole thing that went on at River Valley? I really don't know how many cases in general there were down to the number, but the percentage was high. I do remember that newspaper story coming out. Does anybody have any memories of this at all after we did the story in hour number one on this? Okay, well, maybe this person does. Let's see. Go ahead, caller.
Hi, good morning, Scott.
Good morning.
I'm a firm believer that there really was something there at the River Valley School. I spent a good share of my long career with GTE at that building right across the street from it, and I can tell you it was a topic of discussion every day, even though our higher-up officials would try to tell us, you know, don't disturb the troops, don't upset anybody, keep quiet. But I also had a cousin that was a longtime teacher and basketball coach at River Valley, and his death was caused by leukemia. So my family is certainly... We're firm in believing that there was a problem there, and I don't think it's really still been completely uncovered or explained.
You know, it's interesting. I was just looking through this book here, and there is a chart in here that it's the case review of leukemia diagnosed among residents of Marion County from 92 to 99, and also among the graduates of River Valley High School. And what it shows is that total cases of leukemia in Marion County residents for that period were 42, and at River Valley graduates there were 9. So that's where we got the percentages.
Yeah, I see. Well, I remember when they first built when GTE first built the building out there, the conversation to us that we're going to move out there. But for heaven's sakes, Marion County already had a high radon rate in Marion, which caused cancer. And here they built that building out in the middle of a cornfield, which is what radon was supposedly a byproduct of. And then when the River Valley thing came out, I mean, we all thought we were just walking ducks waiting for death over there.
Well, yeah, that was always the thing. I mean, all the attention was focused on River Valley, and I certainly think that's because it was a school. But I always used to think right across the street, here's this GTE building, which has hundreds of people working in it every day, and is anybody doing a soil sample or anything over there?
Well, I know GTE never sponsored anything, whether or not that was a part of what the government was doing. I really don't think there was ever any testing. And like I said, we were basically just told, just go about your business, do your work, don't worry what's going on, even though we thought, well, any day now we're going to have people dropping around us. But it's a sad situation because I do know a lot of people were affected by that, and it did not give good publicity to Marion. And I just hope someday, maybe, again, something will be found either through the story or you know, get us to move on from it.
Yeah, it's interesting that it's been left up in the air, that here we are, you know, 25 years later, and really there is no answer. And according to Dr. Van Curen in the first hour, doesn't believe there ever will be an answer. And it's also interesting to me, this man who is not a Marion resident, who did all this research, has not come to a conclusion himself as to if it caused it or not. I don't know.
Yeah, I know. Oh, also, a side note, when your interview first started, he talked about having German prisoners here that worked out there at the depot. And at the time, when my mother was a child, she lived on Madison Avenue, and she said daily they would see these trucks with these prisoners of war going by their house. And then her memory was they all looked so sad. Mm. You know, they were, and she said my grandmother always told him, don't stare, just go back in the house, just and don't think about it, because it was such a sad situation for her to see that.
War is definitely never fun, that's for sure.
Well, it affects everyone in different ways.
Absolutely. Hey, thanks for calling.
You bet.
Bye-bye. Again, phone lines are open. If the lines are ringing busy, just means we're on the line with somebody else, so keep on trying in. 47 minutes past the hour, 740-383-9944, talking about memories of the River Valley schools and the cancer scare that broke out there in the late 1990s, dating back to contamination issues that most likely happened during the follow-up to World War II and the Engineer Depot. But will we ever know if things that were deposited there caused issues? I don't know. I don't know if we'll ever know or not. It doesn't look like those tests are really ever going to be done. 48 minutes past the hour, phone lines are open if you have a memory of this. And even if you didn't go there or know somebody who went there, what do you remember about that time in Marion? It was almost like you couldn't turn around without hearing about that particular story. It was a very deep story. Anything to do with kids always is. That's always going to be a very strong topic of conversation amongst people. 740-383-9944. The phone lines are open. That's 740-383-9944. If you have any thoughts, memories, or opinions in regard to what went on at the River Valley, the old River Valley school site out, which I think, am I right about that? Isn't it a Marion address? I don't think that area is considered Caledonia, where the old River Valley is. Isn't that a Marion area? Does anybody know that? 740-383-9944, the old 98 out there. I think that's a Marion area. Go ahead, caller.
Hey, Scott, what are they ever going to do with that building?
Well, it seems like they're doing things with it. I know they're storing things in there. I've seen there are trucks parked there from time to time.
So it's only going to be used as a storage bin now, or?
Well, I don't know. I think I don't know that there are any restrictions on it for what people would want to use it for. It was always interesting to me that they never tore it down.
Yeah, I go by. See, I went to city schools, so I really didn't pay attention to like the county schools. But you know, when that came on the news, that you know, that's the only reason. And then with the new River Valley, I didn't even know. I thought the River Valley. I thought the new building was River Valley, but until all that happened, you know. And then I asked somebody. I said, "Where in the heck is that old River Valley?" And they said, "Oh, it's right down there on that road. You know, you go by it all the time."
Yeah, it's still there. They never tore it down.
So I was wondering what the heck they're going to do with it. Are they just going to let it rot, or, you know?
Well, like I said, I think there is something in there. When you pass by it, a lot of times you'll see trucks parked there, and I think there are things being stored in there. I think the building's being kept up pretty good. I don't seem to see a lot of damage done to it.
Because I heard that some people said that you're not even allowed to be on that property.
You know, I don't believe that's true. I mean, I don't know for sure. I mean, I'm certain it would be trespassing because it is private property, but I'm not sure who owns it right now.
I don't know, but, you know, it's a shame that building is just standing there, you know. That's like when these schools, you know, like when we went to school back in the day, Scott, there was Mark Street. It ain't even running no more. I don't even know why they knocked that down. Taft ain't up no more, you know, and Fair Park School, that was knocked down. But it was rebuilt to, you know, now it's named Taft. You know, all them old schools, you know, when we went to school, you know, it's a shame they're not here no more.
Well, it is interesting, like I was telling the doctor, that the city schools pretty well tore down all of the old buildings, and there was never any issue in the city schools about these buildings being contaminated, but yet in the county, there where there was an issue with contamination at River Valley, they have not knocked the school down. I mean, it still stands out there today for anybody who would want to drive by it out on the corner of 98 and... what's the road out there? What's the...
95?
No, that's not 95. It's on the corner of 98 and 309.
Yeah. My bad.
Yeah. Yeah.
But, there was like... if you go in the Taft building in their school, they got a blanket. I know I went there. My kids went there one, you know, for a little bit. And... when you go in, there's like a blanket that's made. I wish I knew who, I could ask that person about it. But they got every school was back when I grew up, like, you know, like I just said, Mark Street, Taft, and all that. And they got it quilted, and, you know, someone made that blanket, you know. That was so neat.
Yeah, it's nice that those schools are remembered in a nice way.
Oh, yeah, I remember that. That was my childhood. You know, I remember I first saw you there and, you know.
Hanging around.
You knew you since way back then.
Yeah, it goes way back. So you going to go over to Caledonia this weekend for Christmas in the Village?
Is it this weekend?
Yeah, this weekend.
Well, I'll ask the kids to see if they want to go and, you know.
Or you could go to the singles dance up at the Harding Hotel on Saturday.
Why, are you dancing?
No, I'm not going to be there, but apparently some other folks are. You never know.
Yeah.
You never know. Well, thanks for calling.
We'll get your boogie shoes out.
Yeah, that's right. Get them out and get them, dust them off.
Yeah.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Yep.
Yeah, I don't know. Does anybody know what's out there in the River Valley building now? Is anything out there? You know, I pass by it quite a bit, but it's been a long time since I've been aware. Go ahead, caller.
Hi, Scott.
Hey.
I think that whole area is certified for industrial use only, you know, so as long as people aren't in the building, the old school building all the time, I think it's okay, and it's good for storage. You know, they can go in there and take stuff out. And
does anybody know who owns that land?
I don't know. At one time I did. It said, you know, when they bought it, somebody, I think it was primarily going to use it for storage.
Well, you know, that it's just interesting to me that there was such a hubbub involved with that.
Yes, the main thing I remember about that is that the guy that was head of Marion Appliances,
Don Millard,
was he was the one that I think was the head of that committee and was pushing it. He pushed hard.
He did, and you know, there was always a question of that as well, because he was pushing, and there was that rumor for a long time that they just wanted new schools.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, they got them.
They got it, and I think the government paid for all of it, so.
Yeah, like our caller said before, it was always interesting to me that nobody ever said anything about GTE across the street.
Right. I don't know how. You know, and maybe it seemed like the farther out you went, the less contamination there was. So maybe it had been decided that there was really no contamination in that area. You know, I don't remember. I don't know. I don't know how far the how far their use really, because 98 was there forever. So I don't know if they went across the road, you know, and used the other side of the road much or not. So.
I just remember it being such an odd story, because you would get these stories that they were finding this stuff in the soil,
yeah.
And then almost the next day you would hear a story
that... It would just sort of disappear.
Yeah, nothing was found.
Right.
That it, everything's
right.
Clear.
I think the government probably wanted to keep it low level.
It certainly is an interesting time in Marion history.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, hey, thanks for calling.
Sure.
All right, again, phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. Yeah, the area is being used for a storage. That's last I knew as well. I don't know what they store in there or who owns that land now, but it's there. Does anybody know? 740-383-9944, this 1st of December, 2021. How about that? 12/1/21. The story of the old River Valley schools and the cancer scare that broke out here in the late 1990s. You know, we talk about so many things that are really from ancient history, you know, more than 80, 90 years ago. But this was something that happened in fairly recent times, the last 25 years, that caused quite a stir in this area. And it was quite a stir. My goodness. That was what you call a true media frenzy. You know, every so often we get a story that people report on, and they might do a few stories on it here in Marion, but boy, that River Valley story, that was a media frenzy. You had the Dispatch, you had the television stations, you had the Star, you had those school board meetings were nuts. Go ahead, caller.
Here's something that happened in recent history. Aren't you just so sick of hearing all these school shootings?
Of the school shootings?
Yeah, did you hear about the one in Michigan yesterday?
I did hear about the one in Michigan, and
doesn't it seem like there's like one a month?
Well, it's awful, yeah, and I don't know what's driving that. It's sad.
Yeah, and it really doesn't seem like there's any kind of clear-cut answer.
No, I know that there is a bill now here in Ohio where they're trying to arm the teachers. I don't know where that's going to go.
Heaven help us though if that gun gets in the wrong hands.
Well, that's the fear of a lot of people.
I mean, teachers are, don't you just think of them as generally to be nice people? Who's really got the whatever it takes to, you know, blow a kid away, even if they're pointing a gun at you?
Yeah, I think that would be kind of hard. I don't know. I really don't know how that whole thing would turn out. I think it'd be kind of hard because
it's
I think there are just a lot of people to force them to do that. I don't know if it could be done or not. It's interesting. But yeah, that was a sad story out of Michigan, that's for sure.
Yeah, month before Christmas.
Month before Christmas. Absolutely.
Okay.
Thanks for calling.
Bye.
Again, phone lines are open here for about another minute, and then Glenn will join us, and we'll be on from 10:10 until noon today. And then A Progressive Life with Glenn and Dr. Feynman, 12:10 until 1 p.m. Nate Redman will be on today from 4:10 until 5 p.m. with Offbeat News and Trivia, and the Trinity Baptist Church Sunday Sermon will be on from 6:10 until 7 p.m. And the topic this morning has been, really, it all kicked off with the book, The School Poisoning Tragedy in Caledonia, Ohio. We had author Dr. James Van Curran on. And then your thoughts on all this as time has went on. Go ahead, caller.
Hey, Scott, one nice thing about that Michigan shooting.
Yeah.
Ain't that sad that the teachers has got to now make a decision whether to arm ourselves just to teach?
Well, it's an unfortunate society we live in a lot of ways, and I don't know what the end result's going to be to that.
And when we went to school, we never once thought about, you know, we went to school, we learned, and the teachers, their job was to teach us. We never once had to deal with that stuff when we went to school.
Now, I think the late 90s is when that all kind of started happening, and it's unfortunate, but hopefully it'll all end for the best.
Yeah, that boy, it's sad. He's only 15 years old. And, you know, he's going to blame that on something or whatever, or he was abused, or all this, and these video games that they play today that all has all these killings and all this stuff, you know.
Yeah, it'll all play out. I guess we'll see how it happens. Well, hey,
and there's no excuse for killing innocent kids, and the teacher is in critical condition.
It's unfortunate, and right here at the holidays.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, hey, thanks for calling.
Yep.
All right, we got a break for news, weather, obituaries, and some other notices, but we will be back in 15 minutes. Don't you dare go anywhere.
People, now, is there much call for fruitcake the other 11 months of the year?
Not as much as there is now, but we do make it year-round.
But you make more that many fruitcakes. Wow. What is the cost of a Claxton this year, or do the retailers set that price?
Okay, we ship it to you. It's